B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Story and immediately got you in mind here. So this guy, Ronald Berry.
And he can give you CPR if you need it. Brought it to a burning building.
Yeah.
Got you.
See, yeah, he could do that, but he couldn't block on the offensive line?
Well, wait a minute. He could have.
He could have.
But, you know, it was just, you have to get it.
Wrong place, wrong time.
Wrong person to mold you.
That's right. It's a good way to put it.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No. But this guy, Ronald Berry, was a...
he's an American hero.
He's a cleaner on a subway in the Bronx in New York. Apparently, he got fired in 2015 and still was getting paid.
It's awesome.
So this was called the Costanza thing, even though it's more of Milton from The Office Space, or from Office Space, where there was some glitch in accounting and he kept receiving a paycheck.
George didn't actually get away with it.
No, George did not get away with it. This guy got away with it for 4 years.
That's incredible. Was he showing up?
Now, so here's the thing. You would assume that this was direct deposit.
Right? Yeah.
No, it wasn't. He had to go pick up a check.
That's even better.
Yeah. And they would hand him a check. It said 4 years for $250,000 over the 4 years. That's what he made. So was it 62.5, I guess?
Yeah.
For 4 years?
Yeah,
somewhere. And he gets the money. I had used a calculator before the show. They would give him his check.
That's incredible.
And then he'd go home, and that's it. Now, he wouldn't show up to work. He'd show up to pick up the paycheck.
That's amazing. That's even better.
He was out on disability. He was out. He was claiming to be out because he had asthma and some other condition that was leaving him, that said he was going to go home and just stay home for disability. So he was still getting these checks. So apparently somebody thinks that they fired him. He says he never got a call, never got a letter, never got anything, and continued to receive his paycheck, continued to show up to pick it up. And he also continued to get emails from the company about training. Like, we have to do compliance training and all that stuff, right? Almost every company has to do. He was still getting those tests and those training sessions via email. And now he's basically being sued. So here's what happened. He was sick on leave, quote unquote, since 2015 for high blood pressure and asthma. Last Thursday, he went to collect another paycheck, and he was arrested for criminal trespassing. After being observed inside an employee-only New York City transit facility. So he was seen inside the facility. They arrested him. His argument was, I'm still getting these checks. I've been picking them up for 4 years, and you keep sending me these emails. I never got a call about being fired. The new boss, because there was a transition, which is probably where the glitch really did happen,
right,
was not my problem.
Keep paying them.
Yeah, I don't know about... I think it is your problem. But is that not the dream? Yeah. Yeah, that's the dream
in a society
where a guy can get paid an extra $250,000 because the new boss didn't follow up.
So now what?
Now they're going to sue him and try to get that money back.
Oh, that sucks.
Wow, I'm not thinking that money's still laying around.
Yeah, especially it's not like...
Not his fault.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't $250,000 a year. It was like $62,500 a year over the last 4 years.
So his defense is, they never fired me. And they come back and say, but why did you stop showing off work? He goes, well, I did it once and twice and nobody said anything. So I just figured, you know, maybe I was a consultant or something.
Maybe sick leave just kept going. High blood pressure and asthma.
Now, if he kept showing up to work, then all right, you got a case. But then when you know that you're getting over.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to get him.
Yeah, he's kind of screwed.
Yeah.
No one ever fired me. 610-632-0975. You are listening to 975, The Fanatic, WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. 7 o'clock hour brought to you by Univest Bank. Are you frustrated by escalating HR costs and legislative compliance? There's a simple solution. It's time for Univest Employee Benefits. Visit univest.net to set up your free benefits analysis today. Are you losing confidence in Doug Peterson? That's the repeating question we're going to ask throughout the morning for so many different reasons, most notably when his fingerprints are most on the game plan, the start of the game, they can't score touchdowns. They can't get in the end zone. On the road, they haven't even scored a first quarter point so far this season. And it's a lot of the same issues that we've seen even dating back to last year, where they have trouble starting out with this offense. Last year, maybe you could chalk it up to Carson coming back from the injury, whatever. But even into this year, you have had the same problem. And the more repeating issue is the same simple theme that's out there, which is there is no Frank Reich. So now for a second straight year, you're seeing those early struggles with either game plan execution or the game plan that was installed to begin with. That's a huge concern for me. So I ask Eagles fans today, voice your opinion. Are you someone right now that is losing faith in Doug Peterson? Let's get to Mike in Del Ram. What's going on, brother?
Yeah, what's going on, guys?
Hey, buddy.
Passarello's, Main Street, Moorestown. You don't get 320 pounds fat without knowing. throwing that out there, Tony. Welcome to South Jersey. Hey, I appreciate your comments about my time conscious caller stuff, but I'm going to push it to the limit today.
Mike, the floor is yours.
I got a lot of beef. So I've heard a lot yesterday and last night. I think it was Tordy and D-Lidham. Some guy called in last night, and he was really ripping Carson Wentz, and I'm just tired of listening to it. For the fans that are calling and thinking Carson Wentz is getting made excuses for or that he's not doing a good enough job, do me a favor and stop watching football. Stop comparing what's going on with Carson Wentz right now in the first few weeks of this season to Nick Foles. Every Super Bowl winning team gets hot when? At the end of the season, right? So Nick Foles took over a team. And listen, I've been accused of being a Folesian society guy. Like, I loved it and I supported him. But he got handed a team that was ready to roll. Alshon Jeffrey used to be able to run down the field when Nick Foles played, right? Zach Ertz was catching passes. Nelson Aguilar looked like a decent player. Nobody's catching anything. I feel bad for Carson Wentz. I wouldn't look that good either if I had absolutely no confidence of throwing the ball to anybody. So for as long as, you know, for as much as everybody wants to put blame on that guy, he is the only bright spot we got.
See, here's the thing. I brought up two criticisms of Carson Wentz yesterday, and it wasn't blaming him for the loss. It wasn't even putting him in like the top five as to why they lost the game. But the not checking out of the play where Eric Kendricks is shading over to Alshon Jeffrey the third time you made that play call on the screen to him, he should have checked out. There was plenty of time on the clock. That was a mistake by Carson. Was it a mistake by Doug to even call that play a third time? Yeah, probably. But if you're the quarterback and you're the last line of defense when you see what the defense is doing, he should have checked out of that. The other was the overthrow to Aguilar in the end zone. Those are just two bad plays. And I had two callers yesterday act like I hate the guy because of those two little critiques.
Yeah, I hear you. And you know what? Every great player makes mistakes. But at the same time, if there's a couple catches earlier in the season, we're not so worried about being 3-3 with 5-1. The second thing is what Tony brought up, and I really wanted to rant about it. You know, how long is Howie Roseman going to get a pass after the Super Bowl until we realize that, you know, maybe he's not that great at what he's supposed to be doing or supposed to be helping with? If you look at the Phillies and the Flyers, right, we ripped the front office constantly about their farm system, about the guys we brought in. You know, they were Martinez, I think, read a stat from Rob Motti yesterday about all the draft picks since 2000 that we've gotten as the Eagles team for first and second rounders, and then guys we missed. And I threw up in my mouth. Like, Howie Roseman, great job. You got Jay Ajayi. You made a trade for Jeffries. You did all these stuff. Awesome. If you don't make a move before the trade deadline, you got next season. And then, in my opinion, that's it. If we spiral out of control, and these young guys that he drafted aren't living up to the potential we thought they were, and for God forbid somehow we miss the playoffs, if he doesn't nail the draft next year, I will help him pack his bags, and I will move him out of here. I'm just tired of making the excuse. He's got to make the deal. There's been superstar players that have gone to other teams that he could have got that he didn't. And he's going to sit back, and he's going to let the guys like Douglas and Sidney Jones be on milk carton. It pisses me off. Go, Bert!
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it, man. I can't defend Howie. Like, if I'm going to try to defend Howie Roseman, what am I going to throw in your face right now? Miles Sanders? Like, as much as I'd like to do that, and he's a good pick.
Yeah, I mean, there's still Dallas Goedert and Miles Sanders. It's not all like sky is falling, but it's pretty clear that he's mediocre at best at drafting.
Right.
Like, he's middle of the pack.
Right. Everything else, I think he's great at. Phenomenal.
The cap, he's a wizard with.
Yes, and the trades, like, I don't know why people answer the phone is the joke with Howie Roseman when he calls.
He still fleeced the Vikings. Let's not forget that.
Absolutely. And they won a Super Bowl with him putting that team together. And let's not forget how deep that team was.
And he did get you Carson Wentz as well.
Yeah, and he did that a lot through trades.
Yeah.
And that was remarkable. And you can look at almost anybody in that draft class and say, all right, well, if I had two guys right here, who are you going to take? It would be Goff and it would be Wentz 1-2. And it's not in the draft class, but around the league, all the GMs, if they were drafting quarterbacks that year, it'd be one or the other. All right, I think we can all agree on that.
Right.
So when you look at Howie Roseman right now, you can look at Carson, as you mentioned, Bob. But as you look at this draft class, Sharif Miller as a DN? Like, what's inactive. Nothing's happening.
I mean, the two of the biggest problems with this team right now are wide receiver and cornerback.
Mm-hmm.
And he's shown an inability to draft either for a decade now.
Yeah, it's been a huge issue.
And it's killing you.
So in drafts with Howie Roseman, what am I going to do, step up to play and defend the guy? I agree with you. There's been a lot of struggles. And when you see McLaurin catching touchdown passes for the Redskins. And
he's got five now.
Like, there have been other guys taken after me. And it's not
DK
even...
DK Metcalf, I thought was going to have problems in the NFL, is killing it.
Yeah, when you have other guys in the NFL that are exceeding the expectations of your own guys and exceeding their workload and their production, then, yeah, you have to look at the guy that's organizing this team, and that's Howie Roseman. The front layer of this team going into the season with DeSean Jackson and Malik Jackson, that was a great front layer. That was a great first draft. That was a great depth chart right at that first ring right there. But after that, what we thought we had in depth, it's not there.
Getting proven pieces at good prices is what Howie does best, right?
Mm-hmm.
Proven pieces, good prices, that he's great at that. Evaluating, getting those pieces and getting them proven is not their forte.
Oh, so you just said go get Jalen Ramsey. That's what I just heard.
Yeah, exactly.
Or Patrick Peterson or Chris Harris.
Yeah.
Or Emmanuel Sanders or...
There it is.
Possibly AJ Green, but he's an injury concern.
Go get players that are better than the ones you drafted.
That's what I just heard Bob say. Yeah.
Yes, that's the ask we're making.
So
right
that's
now.
that's the counter argument to those that say don't trade draft picks. Maybe Mike and King of Prussia was right. You know, like, or wow. Not right.
You and Mike and KOP.
Because he doesn't want to trade away draft picks. But if you're not hitting on the draft picks, then trade them away for proven talent.
Yeah, but then you have more opportunity. To draft, like hit something.
No, I hear you. It's a fine combination of the two.
Cast a wide net, my friend.
Yeah.
Cast a wide net. Like I tell my my younger cousins in college, hey, cast a wide net.
Don't get a girlfriend first semester, cast a wide net.
These are the words to live by. You're welcome to all the young players. Also to all the young players, don't talk smack unless you could back it up. Yeah, because there was a casualty yesterday in the Eagles locker room. Go figure.
Mm-hmm.
Two slices of humble pie.
He had a whole half a pie.
Yeah.
And he's sitting down just eating that right now. A little crow involved as well. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Coming up, we'll talk about the Eagles' latest roster move, and we'll have another installment of whether or not you have confidence in Doug Peterson. Right now, Sam Wilson, what are the people saying on our Twitter poll?
Today we asked, are you losing faith in Doug Peterson? Yes or no? We have just under 1,700 votes. 76% say no.
76% keeping the faith. On Doug Peterson, I think they're pointing their finger at another part of the front office, rather, when they look at Howie Roseman and those drafts, as we were just discussing. Whoops.
Did I say 610-632-0975.
Time of the Fanatic is 7:12.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Jamie, how you fighting through? I gotta ask, are you okay? Fighting through the show all right?
My big forehead bruise you talking about?
With your head trauma that you suffered?
Not all heroes wear capes, but I'll get through today.
Jamie's head trauma could kill a small country with the size of his head. Is that not the biggest head you've ever seen?
Allegedly. He's got a big old melon.
I used to have to call in extra large lacrosse helmets for me.
Head pants.
He's gonna cry himself to sleep on his huge pillow.
You could give the kid a complex. It's like Sputnik. Anyway, Doug Peterson yesterday at the press conference didn't exactly inspire a lot of confidence here. And what we've been talking about throughout the show today has been the major issues surrounding this team's offense for quite some time. It really has to do with not being able to score in the first quarter, not being able to score at all in the first quarter on the road so far this year. And then not to mention that this is on the heels of one of Doug's worst games, I would say, since week 2 last year. And then someone even pointed out to me before that, hey, remember that Dallas game in his first year where he threw the swing pass to Darren Sproles and Josh Huff?
Yeah, was supposed
to
call.
It was a bad one. Josh Huff was supposed to block Sean Lee. Not the best idea in the world. So, nonetheless, every coach has a bad game or two. This one was particularly bad for Doug Peterson. No better example than the fake field goal. Now, before we get to this little cut in yesterday's press conference, where Doug was really pushed, not so much on the fake field goal, but more so the lack of preparation going into games, where, again, early in games that first quarter, his fingerprints are most on the game plan, most on the outcome of what happens in that first drive or that first quarter, and they come up empty-handed so many times. We'll examine that in a second. But yesterday, I'll set the scene for you. I was outside enjoying a cigar. I was finishing up a cigar. A nice glass of whiskey, mm-hmm. right? Grilling some brats. When I see on Twitter our good friend Adam Schefter, this was moments before he did the Lambeau leap at Lambeau last night. Adam Schefter tweets out that the Eagles have released linebacker Zach Brown. Now, as much as I wanted to believe in the drama that it was because he talked trash, the guy just wasn't very good. Like, it was a weird combination. It was a weird thing because he comes here from D.C. as one of the leading tacklers in the NFL over the last 4 or 5 years.
Oh, yeah. And on every tackle, it seemed like.
And then this year, you barely see him. Mm. And then he gets cut after a game where he called out the quarterback that threw 333 yards and 4 touchdowns on you.
Oh, you saw him a lot yesterday.
Oh, I saw him a lot yesterday?
Yeah, with the streamer. How could you miss him? He was just always in chase mode.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh, there he is. I see him.
Look at that streamer. Oh, there he is. Yeah.
He's not the first guy in on the play. Mm-hmm. He's the last.
Yeah, he's there, though. I mean, in yesterday's game, he had 5 total tackles, only 1 solo, 1 tackle for loss. I'm thinking that was his solo tackle. And, that's it.
Yeah. So Zach Brown's gone now.
Yeah, he's gone.
Trey, why he gone?
When you start talking trash and you poke the bear and then, and Kirk Cousins comes out there, dices everybody up, you spark something there and then you put on the streamer and you're always in chase mode and you only have 1 tackle.
All right.
So that pretty much, thank you for your service. We'll see you later.
So if he doesn't say anything last Friday before the game and he still plays the way he did for now the 6th straight game, you don't think he's cut?
Maybe if he doesn't say anything. Totally different outcome in the game.
All right. See, the reason I don't buy into that, and I think everybody has Baltimore material, and people will lie to you all the time that they'll say, oh, no, there's no such thing, whatever. These are professional athletes.
There's a thing.
Yeah, the underdogs proved it.
Yeah.
When the Eagles were underdogs, that's what proved it to me.
Uh-huh.
Because I remember Doug Peterson tried using that in the press conference. Oh, we don't listen to the outside noise.
Angry dogs run faster.
And I was at the press conference, and I said to Doug, I go, Doug, you're saying that. But right now, Lane Johnson's walking around in a dog mask.
Uh-huh.
So they hear it. And he goes, well, hey, nobody gave us a chance. And then he basically rattled off every headline for the last month.
Right.
Exactly. And almost every point spread for the last month. Like, you hear that noise. So I understand that. But what I'm saying is Zach Brown just wasn't a very good football player for this team anyway.
Oh, he sucked.
Well, to put it, yes.
Even more of a reason for you to keep your mouth shut.
Exactly.
Okay.
You're both right. Yeah. Put it this way. Opening his mouth wasn't going to help him keep his job. No. But you know what I mean?
If he made a play in that game, then it would have been a different story.
Yeah, I don't think it was, and I don't think Trey thinks it was the sole reason, but it lends to things.
Okay,
look,
so
human nature comes into play all the time.
Right.
It lends to things. He could rub you the wrong way, and then his play rubs you the wrong way, and then he says that. Had enough. Bring your playbook.
And I've said many times before, one of the things I really liked about Zach Brown was that he wasn't afraid to say something. And he was always a good guy to go up to in the locker room. Always. 6 weeks he was here. But even in training camp, you get a chance to talk to him. He was one crazy dude. Like, I don't know what wavelength that guy was on half the time.
That's
but he was, well, here's the thing. Nigel Bradham, I don't think I've heard him say 2 words.
Yeah, most linebackers are.
Yeah, he was not afraid to talk, though. Mm-hmm. Zach Brown enjoyed meeting. He never turned me down. If I went to for anything, he always was willing to, have some fun, whatever it might be, and talk about the game.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he had a couple of screws loose.
Oh, yeah.
And I talked to Nate Gary 2 weeks ago. And by the way, I got the explanation on why he's the snake. Did I tell you this?
The white snake.
The white snake.
Please share.
Yeah. But real quick, I asked him, about Zach Brown. And he goes, oh, Zach's my guy. If I travel anyway, Zach's with me. Zach's like the crazy you need in the car.
Yeah.
I was like, that's pretty funny. But no, he got the name white snake because some guy tweeted him that he was the white snake. It's just from Twitter. And then his teammates saw it and ran with it.
No explanation of the white snake.
He's just
the white snake.
Well, as Nate Gary pointed out to me, he's white and he's like a snake. He's quiet like a snake. So is the white snake.
All coiled up and hissing.
Thought there was going to be something much better than that.
No,
yeah, yeah. I thought there was going to be a little bit more. I was waiting for
that.
This
might be the worst nickname ever then.
Yeah. It's just some guy on Twitter. But he did remember the guy on Twitter that gave him the nickname.
Oh,
and then his teammates saw it and then started using it.
I thought he was going to be like really good at the I'm a snake kid impressions or something.
Yeah. I was waiting for something better too.
I'm a snake. That guy. You ever see that one?
Wait, what was this?
The YouTube sensation? The one kid that's just like, I'm a snake. Then he does like the snake stuff. Something. Anything other than just some guy on Twitter gave it to me.
Yeah, no. So then here's the thing. I walk away from talking to him. And he goes, by the way, that's the version I'm going with this week. And I was like, oh, come on.
Yeah, there's something more.
Yeah, there got to be a little bit more.
He mentioned the guy on Twitter. I think that a guy on Twitter did give it to him, but the teammates, I guess, lending their support of the nickname is where it grew.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even more so exponentially than what I would even assume.
Okay.
Let's get to Alex in New York City. Alex, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Alex?
Yo, what up? How y'all guys doing?
Great.
I changed my top. I was going to bash the defense, but I'm going to come after. I'm going to help my man Doug. The message, if you guys remember when they won the Super Bowl, and there was like 4-6, I think, going into the Saints game, they got beat down, and he kept the team together. I mean, you know, we could talk about Frank Reich, but Doug kept the team together. You know, they believed in what he was selling. So to me, A lot hangs on being a teacher, not just a coach. And I think Peterson's confidence in himself and through the players resonated with you know, what everybody was saying. Oh, Doug is messing up. Yeah, I think he lost the locker room. So I'm thinking that Doug is more than just a coach. He's a teacher.
All right. I understand what you're saying, but I would almost reverse it. I would like to see more of a teacher. Trey, as you pointed out, it comes down to more of the position coaches doing that teaching. But I think one of the things Doug does great is be that coach where he knows his team. I think that's something he has done phenomenally well since his first year as the head coach of this team, is knowing his team and knowing his players. No better example than the game against the Bengals, I think it was, where Carson Wentz threw the ball, I think, 63 times.
Yeah.
And after the game, Doug basically called out his team saying, I question my team's effort today. Then they had a team meeting, and somehow Doug came out even more down with his team than he did before. Like, this guy knows his team inside and out. He knows their heartbeat. He knows their pulse. All that's great stuff. But what I'm talking about is the schematics that go into it. I'm talking about the game plan, and that's what's struggling. And you talk about a teacher. I don't see these younger guys, Mac Hollins, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, I don't see them taking steps forward. Now, Trey, again, that goes to more position coaching. Mm-hmm. But still, if you're the head coach of the team, you got to do something to get involved if you don't see those guys taking steps forward.
But yeah, I mean, but it's not for you to the head coach is the one that's overseeing. You have to, your guys, you have to trust into your position coaches, because, I mean, what does he know about slide protection?
Right. Doug Peterson?
Or even like, you know, all the other stuff like receivers possibly can help out with. But at the end of the day, you got to trust your position coaches.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's trusting them right now.
Yeah.
Maybe a little too much, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Alex, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
All right, take it easy. The teaching thing is what I want to see more of when it comes to a coach knowing his play. Like, we'll talk about Howie Roseman and what he does well. The trades, right? The salary cap manipulation, great. Drafting, not so much. Doug, I think he knows his players, and I think he knows how to motivate his players. But when it comes to the schematics of it, there's no doubt when you go back to Frank Reich now, you see a drastic difference between when Frank Reich was here and when Frank Reich was gone.
Mm-hmm.
Good starts are out early. Now you're the worst team in the NFL over the last 2 years in first quarter scoring. It's 2 years running now.
And let's just kill this real quick, too, because everybody like, oh, well, Foles. Last year, when Foles started the offense, how many times you think they scored in first
quarter? I don't think they did score in the first quarter. Yeah, because it was the Falcons and Tampa.
Yeah, come on.
And by the way, I haven't mentioned Foles.
I know.
There's been no mentioning of Foles.
But people are like, oh, well, Foles was much more effective with the offense.
I will say this. I have to, you know, this is circle of trust here. It's a trust tree, right? Is that where we're in?
Yeah, safe space.
I did have a Folesian thought.
Oh no.
It was the one.
Foles is going to get his job back, at least, in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
I think the Gardner train came to a stop.
I'm glad I never got on that train. I looked at that, and I went, if this guy doesn't have a mustache and wears open collar shirts the way he does, he's never this popular.
No.
Like, I enjoy the ha-ha-ha of the moment, but I'm not looking at it like, oh, well, this guy's got it.
Right. You
got
to play to your strengths. His strength is mustache and open collared shirts. Right?
So what's your deep, dark Folesian thought? What did you do, Mark?
This was just a thought.
Are we going to have to pull out the Game of Thrones? Shame. Shame.
You know, you tell me. You tell me.
Okay.
This is the only time that Foles crossed my mind during the Vikings game. Mm-hmm. All right?
Oh, no.
You are so, like, worried right now. So, when Strom's back, it was the throw to, what the hell's the guy's name? Matt Collins, the special teamer that's not playing special teams anymore. It was the throw to
Matt
Collins.
The guy that's had one catch over his last 105 snaps.
With the one that was in the end zone or the sideline?
The one that was on the end zone, not the sideline.
Okay.
And I thought a 6'4" wide receiver, the bigger mistake was on him. I'm not saying it wasn't, but... 6'4" wide receiver on a 6'1" defensive back needs to go up and get that ball.
Yeah.
And then I watched it again. It was the second time I watched the game. So it wasn't immediate, if that counts for anything. And Wentz dropped back, and like I noticed how he's like really like slung it, right? Like there's not a lot of touch on that pass. There's no loft for a bigger receiver to go up and get it, that type of thing. And I was like,
Foles did have lofty balls. I will give him that.
And that's all. I was like, man, Foles.
I had to.
I think if there is a critique of Carson, sometimes...
lack of touch? Not lofting his balls enough.
Yeah, I don't want to say lack of touch. I want to say throwing it a little too hard.
Okay, so I'm not crazy for that one little snippet of a thought I had.
He's slinging it.
Yeah, he's a North Dakota kid.
He was that.
You gonna sling it? All right, North Dakota kid. You gonna sling it? You gonna sling it?
He was
slinging.
He was paid to sling it.
I mean, I guess that's what they want. They want him slinging it.
He was asked by Jeffrey. If Jeffrey Lurie says sling it, then...
You sling it.
You
sling it.
I mean...
Getting paid a lot of money.
Yeah.
He wants a slinger.
Jeffrey wants a slinger from North Dakota. He has sling it.
You got to sling it.
I you know what? My apologies. I totally forgot that it would be a guy like
Boss's
Jeffrey
orders.
Yeah. See that?
See?
Get those dirty thoughts
out of your head.
Did Hollins even get his hands on that ball at all?
I thought he got one hand on it.
Did he?
What are we doing with Matt Collins?
It just seemed like he didn't get off the ground.
Yeah.
Why are we wasting... what are we doing?
I don't know.
He can't play wide receiver.
But okay, so real quick.
Special teams. So, you know,
so what are we doing? Why?
Well, he's down right now. He's not playing special teams.
You got to build his confidence with a little special teams.
Oh, great. So we're in the confidence rehabilitation industry now?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah,
that's what
absolutely.
We are.
Cool. We've been doing this with Nelson Aguilar for what, 4.5 years now?
It hasn't been working.
How's that going?
Well, they did have a stretch for a little bit.
Brief stretch. Yeah,
you love Nelson Aguilar.
A couple catches the other.
So it's okay that I had that one Folesian thought?
It's okay.
Okay.
Just never speak of it again.
It's just a lofty.
Oh, my God. Why are you saying what?
Bob, we're in the trust tree. He's allowed to get it off his chest.
Okay.
We tell him it's stupid and then we never mention
it
again.
But you didn't say it was stupid. Right.
I'm in the process of it.
Foles has lofty balls. That's what I will say.
You know, if we get on him right now, he'll never come to us again.
Yeah. Good point. I'm coaching on my part.
Yeah.
That's an excellent Mark point. Is a guy that you can't MF up and down. You have to coddle him.
Yeah, that is untrue. I hate coddling.
Rub him, pat him on the head, train.
Like,
say,
I already told my 2-month baby, hey, get a job, you bum. There's no coddling in this house. I don't believe in coddling.
Yeah. Do you believe in suction cups on the forehead?
Speaking of not coddling.
I mean, if he didn't wear a hat all the time or if he had a job, that would be totally impressive.
If he had a job.
A real job?
I mean, a real job.
Not a fun one.
I meant to say a job where you couldn't wear a hat.
If you had a job.
Yeah.
Jamie had a job. Yeah. Well, hold on. Now, speaking of coddling, one guy that definitely was not coddled yesterday was Doug Peterson.
Transition king.
Doug Peterson yesterday, Les Bowen asked him.
Les was about that life yesterday.
Man,
Les is hilarious, dude.
He does crack me
up. No prisoners.
Yeah. Les doesn't care.
Les, man.
Les's day started, okay? Les's day started on Monday by tweeting out a photo of the Mary Tyler Moore statue in Minnesota and saying, this is the Mary Tyler Moore statue. Even this got behind Sidney Jones and Rasul Douglas on Sunday.
It was pretty good.
It was pretty good.
That is good.
Les is hilarious, man. And then, I never knew.
And then Les,
he's like the dude.
Oh no, Les.
He's kind of like the dude as a sports writer.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, like you just need him in a bathrobe and a white Russian, and he'd be living his best life.
Like, as a player, I didn't, you know, it was just like, oh, here's Les, you know? But now, it's like, Les is hilarious.
I really enjoy Les. Yeah. I'm not even kidding. He's one of my favorite people in the city. But Les just, like, took the gloves off, and he also put them on the table yesterday during the press conference. This is Les Bowen asking Doug about slow starts.
Not to belabor the slow starts, but this has been such a continuing thread through the whole season. You had one game.
I know, I'm going to take the ball now in the first quarter from here on out.
Yeah, we got that. But what you arrived at is there something with your preparation that's not being done? It's extraordinary. I
mean, so you're accusing me of not having my team prepared?
Well, I'm asking you, what's...
Well, I know this. On the first, third, and two, if we block it correctly, And we have an opportunity there to make a first down, stay on the field. Who knows what's going to happen. Defensively, there was a false start by the Vikings that wasn't called. I mean, those are things that are out of our control. We got caught with 10 on the field. That is in our control. So those are things that we can fix. Those are things that we can correct. Those are things that are keeping us from scoring points.
Yeah.
Damn, he kind of threw some other people under the bus, didn't he?
A little bad.
Yeah. So that's the second time they've been caught with 10 people on the field.
Yeah, that's not a good thing.
Huh.
Yeah.
And who was it? Who were they missing?
Well, they said that Grugé Hill ran back onto the field during the play.
Oh, okay. So yeah. It was a linebacker.
And it was a 15-yard run by Cook, I believe, or 16-yard run, whatever, by Cook while there was 10.
So who ultimately is in control of that, Trey? Is
position it
the
coaches.
I was going to say the position coach.
Yeah.
So the position coach gets, you know, three linebackers are needed.
Yeah,
so
whatever,
you three.
Whatever your personnel is, you should be standing next to your coach. Like, if you're, especially defensive players, they need to be standing right around their coach because they're always sending guys in, on and off the field. Right. Not for offensive line. I mean, you should be next to the coach as well, but, right. You know, you'll see a guy go down, but you're not subbing guys in and out as offensive line. Receivers, they need to be next to the coach. The running backs, they need to be next to Deuce. Every other position coach that are subbed in and out like that need to be next to their coach.
So Ken Fajoli.
Falajol. I believe.
Falajol?
Yeah, I think so.
I thought Falajol? It was Fajoli.
Falajol.
Fajoli?
Fajoli?
Fajitas?
Falajol.
Sounds a little weird.
Now I want fajitas.
Falajol, I believe, is the man's
Falajol.
Name. Yeah, I believe that's how you
pronounce it. It's a lot.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of spelling bee. Falajol?
Falajol. A lot Falajol. Of vowels in there.
Is it Swedish? I don't know what that is.
What's the origin?
I don't know. Using the sentence, Ken Falajol cannot substitute guys quickly. 610-632, I don't know. 632-6, I don't even know what the number is now. You know, my mind is fried. Here's what we got coming up. We got Mike and KOP, Dennis, we got Corey, Rasheen, we got James as well. That's what's coming up. And guess what? We got a little Sixers action tonight. Mm-hmm. Nice and fun, fanatical Sixers action tonight.
They are owning this preseason, aren't they?
They are owning the preseason. And you know what? We talked about Ben Simmons with a nice little step back or three-pointer in the first preseason game.
Uh-huh.
You know, how about a nice little step-back jumper he had in the second one?
How about that?
Against Orlando. Mm-hmm. Not too bad.
They say Fultz showed out.
Yeah.
Come on.
We wouldn't know because we couldn't watch.
Yeah, we couldn't watch it. But Fultz showed up.
But it was great listening to Tom McGinnis right now.
And what is your reasoning that we can't...
Mark Farzad's salary ate up all the budget.
Thanks,
Mark.
Way to go, Mark. Delaware Valley.
Did you know that...
Because of Mark Farzad, we cannot watch Sixers preseason games.
Well, did you know that it's 7:50 an hour to watch a game that's broadcast in another market?
Wait, what now?
That's my salary.
Ah.
7:50 an hour. You jerk. How about that? 610. That's what people tell me it is on Twitter. 610-632-0975. All right, coming up, we'll get a little bit of that Sixers conversation and also spin it right back to the Eagles with all the things going on and whether or not you have lost confidence in Doug Peterson or losing confidence in Doug Peterson as a play caller, as a game planner for the Eagles. Time of the Fanatic is 7:42.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
The undefeated 76ers back in action tonight, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Take it on Detroit here in South Philadelphia. Or down in South Philadelphia, I should say.
Yeah, they are.
We got action here at the center. And then they face the Washington Wizards on the 18th. And then,
then it starts.
And then that's a wrap
for the
season. If the Eagles dare lose to the Cowboys on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to welcome everyone into a very happy basketball season. and I don't
can't
look,
do both, huh?
I don't want, like, here's the thing. I think people will be so pissed off with the Eagles and be so looking forward to the Sixers that it'll be a quick transition. I honestly think that. Like, I've talked to people. We were talking to our boy Dustin out at our one-year party we had during the Brian Westbrook show at PJ's in Cherry Hill.
Right.
And he was like, I'm fighting the urge to transition to the Sixers. Like, I can't get in, not even transition, but at least get into the Sixers at this point, just because I'm holding out hope that the Eagles get something going. Well, they're 0-1 since that time. Like, it hasn't gone well. Let's put it that way.
I mean, the goal is the division, and they're still very much in a good position to win the division.
Right, but if they lose to the Cowboys,
well, then it's a different story. But
yes, that's right. That's in this awful world that I'm living in right now. I'm living in a world where they lose the division.
I heard a stat yesterday: the Eagles haven't beaten the Cowboys with Zeke Elliott playing.
Goody.
So that was cool.
He came out of the Jets game healthy, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? I don't root for injury. I'm just saying.
Amari Cooper asking. Did not, however.
That's true. He did not. So that's a big hit to their offense no matter what.
But yes. The Sixers are straight up dominating teams so far. Like, defensively and rebound wise. Not even, you know, offensively.
I've never done this in basketball. I've only done this in football. I'm looking at the preseason for the Sixers and I'm going, okay, it's just the preseason. Just the preseason.
Yeah, okay.
Just the preseason. That's all I'm going about it. Mike and KOP are on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up there, Mike?
Hey, Mark. How you doing?
Good, man.
So I have a similar story to that guy that got fired, but he was talking checks, and I think the statute of limitations is going off by now, but I got laid off a couple of years ago, and I hated the job, so I was glad to get laid off. And I was already looking for a new job, so they told me I was getting 3 months severance, and I was like, oh, great, I hate this place, and you're paying me to leave it, awesome. Well, so I get my new job, and a couple months in, and I'm collecting double checks, it's great, everything's fine. And then we're leaving for Disney World, and I go to check my account, and I see that I got another hit into my direct deposit. And I was like, I thought this was supposed to end, and I was like, maybe I just miscalculated this.
Right.
The next time. So 2 weeks of buy, it hits again. And I was like, well, that's weird.
Uh-huh.
So it keeps going on for another 3 months. And I'm terrified at
right.
this point.
Yeah, sure.
So it was like, I wasn't supposed to get 6 months. It finally cuts off. And I have this stockpile of extra cash, like, you know, in my checking account. I was too afraid to even tell my wife at one point. So it's just there. And I keep waiting. And I finally tell my wife, and she's like, well, don't spend it. Well, it goes on for a while, like, no, I don't hear anything. So I was like, ah, screw it. So I spend it, and, you know, you pay nothing. So I was just like, an extra 3 months to leave a job, and I hate it. So I was pretty about that.
Okay, so you broke up for a second there, but it ended on its own? You didn't have to make the call?
No, I didn't call anybody to stop. That never happened.
I like how Mike said he was terrified, yet did absolutely nothing about it.
Well, he waited it out.
Yeah.
I kept looking, and it kept happening, and I kept getting more terrified.
Well, yeah. Well, what am I going to do? Like, I'm not going to be like, hey, you supposed to send me money? Like, I didn't know what to do, so I just kept letting it happen.
You sound like a smart guy, Mike. I think you probably knew what you should have done.
Well, Mike, let me ask you this. What was a better feeling, getting those 3 months extra pay or Jamie Lynch saying you were right?
You know, it was nice the other day when I tweeted him. I was like, you ready to call this bet? And he's like, yes, you know, just come get your sandwich. And I don't even want the sandwich. I just wanted the vindication.
That's what you're eating. That's what you're eating today, Mike. And thanks for the call, buddy. Right now, Zach Brown's eating some humble pie.
Yeah.
And he's
two slices.
Mike and KOP is eating a nice. He's having a big old helping of gratification sandwich.
I'm still not completely closing the book on Sidney Jones. I will give Mike the satisfaction of winning our breakfast bet sandwich.
God bless you.
Yeah, but, what is wrong with you?
I just think the guy's never been healthy, and he has zero confidence. I don't think it's a skill issue.
Real quick, on this not overpaying somebody, but continuously paying somebody. When I was starting out in the biz, mm-hmm. A buddy of mine, and Jamie, you know this guy, a buddy of mine was a producer. Now, as a producer, you would make like $8 an hour, okay, for 4 hours of work a day.
That's why I worked five jobs for
exactly.
a long, long time.
Yeah, and like your life was going to be based on those $8 an hour for 4 hours of work a day, all right? And you'd have to show up like an hour before and not be paid. Like, it was ridiculous. The other thing you would do is go out and work promotional events where you get like $50 for an event. So there was some glitch where they were paying this guy $25 an hour while he was a producer. So instead of making $8 an hour, he was making $25 an hour.
Oh.
And they saw the glitch like 4 months later and he had to write the company a check.
Oh,
yeah, that's
think
sucks.
About that for a second.
Yeah.
That happened to Westbrook.
Westbrook had to pay money back?
Yeah. I think they gave him an extra $1 million bonus one time.
Yeah, you're right.
And he had to give it back.
Yeah, that it's happened.
Cold-blooded.
But imagine, okay, now we're doing that with a million.
Couple $100. Yeah, it's tough.
Or
when you're writing $1 million check back, ouch, goo.
that one hurts just a little bit. Rasheen, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Rasheen?
Hey, what's up? How you guys doing?
Good, man.
I'm a little concerned with the coaching staff. It just amazes me how year after year when you're drafting cornerbacks and wide receivers that nobody's able to develop. I'm not too concerned with the Howie Roseman pick because when the picks come in.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.